The Holy Gospel according to St. John, the 6th chapter, beginning with verse 51. Jesus said, "I am the living bread that came down from heaven. If anyone eats of this bread, he will live forever. And the bread that I will give for the life of the world is my flesh." The Jews then disputed among themselves, saying, "How can this man give us his flesh to eat?" So Jesus said to them, "Truly, truly, I say to you, unless you eat the flesh of the Son of Man and drink his blood, you have no life in you. Whoever feeds on my flesh and drinks my blood has eternal life, and I will raise him on the last day. For my flesh is true food, and my blood is true drink. Whoever feeds on my flesh and drinks my blood abides in me and I in him. As the living Father sent me, and I live because of the Father, so whoever feeds on me, he also will live because of me. This is the bread that came down from heaven, not as the fathers ate and died. Whoever feeds on this bread will live forever." Jesus said these things in the synagogue as he taught in Capernaum. When many of his disciples heard it, they said, "This is a hard saying. Who can listen to it?" But Jesus, knowing in himself that his disciples were grumbling about this, said to them, "Do you take offense at this? Then what if you were to see the Son of Man ascending to where he was before? It is the Spirit who gives life. The flesh is of no avail. The words that I have spoken to you are spirit and life. But there are some of you who do not believe." For Jesus knew from the beginning who those were who did not believe, and who it was who would betray him. And he said, "This is why I told you that no one can come to me unless it is granted him by the Father." After this, many of his disciples turned back and no longer walked with him. So Jesus said to the 12, "Do you want to go away as well?" Simon Peter answered him, "Lord, to whom shall we go? You have the words of eternal life, and we have believed and have come to know that you are the Holy One of God." Please be seated. In the name of Jesus, amen. It was the first day, or the first week of school, and she ran to the car, got in the back seat, and exploded in tears. Taken back, Mom says, "What's wrong?" "No one ate with me at lunch. I was all by myself." Anybody ever have a problem with Bob the Builder lunch boxes? You know, it's an amazing thing how many different ways you can be rejected when you go to school. And rejection doesn't just stay there. How many of you were picked last for the football pickup game at school ever? So there's some like me. I mean, how many different ways do we face rejection? I mean, it's a part of our culture. It's a part of our world. And it's hard. It's hard to deal with rejection. It's hard to know what to say. It's hard to know what to do. And it's hard to know what to do with the feelings when you know that you've been pushed aside and rejected. It hurts. It hurts. Of course, there are times in your life and my life where, you know, we work up some courage and we realize it's not going to be easy and we're not necessarily going to be welcomed by everybody. And so we're just going to have to face some rejection. I took a call one time to a congregation where I knew there were going to be those days where I was nobody's pastor because the place was so broken and so hurt for all kinds of reasons. And there were days when I felt like I was rejected by a number of people. But rejection hurts for me too. I don't like to be rejected, just like you. It hurts. Of course, there are times in your life and my life where we do exercise that power. We go, huh. We push people away. we do the rejection ourselves, exercising that power. Rejection, it's a complicated subject, and it hurts. But no one knows what it feels like Jesus. This is a powerful text today. We're at the end of the Bread of Life chapter of the Bible. John's gospel is so interesting. Jesus does these great I am's. And he starts out with the first one, I am the bread of life. And then he goes on to say, I am the light of the world. And then he says, I am the door. I am the good shepherd in chapter 10. I am the resurrection and the life, chapter 11. And then, I am the vine. Apart from me, you can do nothing. It's interesting. This first great I am the bread of life. It all started with Jesus seeing a group of people as if they were like sheep without a shepherd. And so he fed them. He taught them many things. Then the disciples said, oh, you need to shoo them away. They need to get fed. And no, you take care of them. And so what was humanly impossible in every sense of the word, 5 loaves and 2 fish, was more than enough with leftovers in the right hands. Makes you want to put everything in your life in Jesus' hands. Not a bad idea. And the people were filled and they recognized it. And they wanted Jesus to be their bread king. And that was it. And so they chase after him. And they actually say to him, let us have this. And so in chapter 6 of John's gospel, Jesus transparently, passionately gives them the bread that comes from heaven. He talks about himself. He talks about who and what he is. And he wants to feed them so that they have life now and forever. And so today we finish up our Bread of Life section of God's Word with a meditation, sticking with Jesus, God's diet by faith. You know, we're all aware of what it means to be spiritually hungry. I mean, physically hungry. The challenge in your life and my life is we fail to understand the signs of being spiritually hungry. I mean, there's a lot of people who are Christians in our culture right now who are really spiritually starving to death. There is a diagnosis that's been given to our culture, the Christian church across denominations. It's called moralistic therapeutic deism. Christians are more moralistic than they are trusting in Jesus. They think they're okay. Their neighbor really needs Jesus. And so they're moral and they think they're okay with God, as if being moral is going to make you acceptable to God. Therapeutic. What they want in a church is just a happy experience. They don't want to hear about sin and grace. They don't want to face some of the challenges of their life. They just want to feel good. And then deism. They don't see God in the details of the daily challenges they have in their life. And they don't include God. They don't pray. They don't spend time having a devotion. They don't look something up in the Bible. And so they're starving themselves from the bread of life. And Jesus wants to give a full measure. I mean, Jesus wants you to be filled to the gills with him. He wants you to understand that where you're angry or where you're regretting things or where you're bitter or where you're struggling with issues, he's the very meal you need at that moment. He's maybe more than a snack. He needs to be something you binge on. Hold me, Jesus, I'm going crazy. I need the bread of life to make it through this because I'm starving in judgment or in rejection or in fear or in anger or in guilt or in shame and, you know, all the signs of spiritual hunger and thirst. Note them and apply Jesus to them. He's the only meal that will satisfy. The challenge is there's all kinds of junk food out there. There's all kinds of things that we can try to apply to whatever we're dealing with. And Jesus says, pick me, pick me, pick me. I'm the bread of life. He who believes in me will have life. And so the challenge in real time is applying Jesus to the places where we're hungry and thirsty and don't know what to do. And that's what he did in John chapter 6. so transparently and risking himself, here's the bread. And they say, no thanks. Don't feel sorry for Jesus. Heed what he says and receive him who offers himself to you across the spectrum of your hungers and spiritual thirsts. And drink deeply and eat as much of him as you can. I know we're not used to even thinking about him this way, but this is the way he's speaking to us today. And in the Lutheran Church, we say in word and sacrament, we receive no one less than Christ himself, the same that hung on the cross and rose from the grave. We receive, and he fills us with life. In Holy Communion, we receive bread and wine, body and blood. We receive our Savior Jesus. What a meal that is. There is no other meal like it in the world. Makes you want to have communion every day. Because it's in Christ that you and I are accepted. If anybody knows what it's like to be rejected, it's Jesus. My God, why have you forsaken me? All of us deserved it. All of us deserved both God's temporal rejection and eternal rejection. And Christ came out of love for us to take it all. So that now we know for Christ's sake, God always loves us. That God is always there to embrace us. He favors you. He loves you. And even if no one else wants to sit with you at lunch, he does. And even if others don't like the way you're going out of the house like that, he loves just the way you look because you wear Jesus. And as you receive the strength of Christ, the bread of life that satisfies all the spiritual hungers and thirst you and I can have, as we trust in him and draw on his forgiveness, we can face all the rejection that happens around us, and we can also face the rejection that happens within us. How many ways are you tempted to just throw yourself under the bus? I'm no good. I can't do this. I can't do that. Well, Jesus can satisfy that as well. God still loves you. He'll always love you. I mean, this is the truth. There's nothing you can do that will make God reject you. And there's nothing you can do that will make God love you more than he loves you, because your acceptance in his family is based on the sacrifice of his son. And so you are precious to God no matter what. No matter how bad the day has gone. No matter how you're beating yourself up. In Christ, eat and be filled. Eat and be filled with the bread of life. And be careful what you eat. Did I say there's a lot of spiritual junk food out there? There's a lot of stuff that should have the crossbones on it that doesn't. I mean, you are what you eat. Whether it's what you're eating with your eyes, or what you're eating with your ears, or what you're allowing yourself to chew on in your heart and in your mind, be careful what you eat. And just gorge yourself with the bread of life. But this is how that works. The challenge in your day and your time, the challenge in your day and in my day is the temptation to eat throughout the day the stuff that doesn't serve us any good. And when we're tempted to have those snacks, we need to say, Lord, I need you. I don't want to spend the next hour chewing on my anger or on my regret or on my bitterness or on my, fill in the blank. I need you. So that I can live in hope and peace and joy. So that I can be filled with life that loves and forgives and actually tries to help, even though I know that I'll be rejected from time to time. So how does this work? So as you see yourself dealing with the challenges of fear, feast on the bread of life. Be careful what you eat. Be careful what you eat. Dr. Daniel Amen of the Amen Clinic, first in Fairfield, California, now in Southern California, becoming very famous these days. He did a lot of brain research and did a lot of brain scans and looked at the powerful chemical dynamics that take place when people think all the time. And it was amazing what he started discovering when people would chew on certain things, when they would eat and stay focused on certain diets. Let me step out of that for a minute. Was at a Gideon's banquet, I don't know, a couple of months ago, appreciation of pastors. And they gave us some presentation on various and sundry things. And they were talking about how, you know, it's important what you take in and whatnot. And of course, they're preaching to the choir, pastors. Yeah. And you know, we're also seeing in our culture a sensitivity to brain health and the dynamics that go on inside of us. I mean, now we're dealing with digital diseases and the diagnosis of digital disorders. And it's interesting how people are starting to talk about how technology is even changing the way people use their brains to think. But it's even deeper than that. So they're going along presenting to us what's, you know, what the Gideons are doing. And then they show us this picture of a brain scan. And they ask the question, you know, what's this an indication of? And I'm thinking, well, that looks like a brain on meth or a brain on cocaine. And they said, this is a brain on pornography. This is a brain scan on pornography. Be careful what you eat. Be careful what you eat. There's a lot of diets out there that are no good for you. So Daniel Amen in his brain research was looking at brain scans and to see these powerful chemical things that happen. You know, when people become malicious in their thinking, there's a powerful flood of chemicals in the brain and it starts burning the dendrites. You know, those little branches in the brain. You can actually burn a black hole in your brain by thinking malicious thoughts. Be careful what you eat. Be careful what you eat. And gorge yourself on the bread of life. Jesus says, I'm the bread of life. I mean, he passionately explains it. And he willingly gives it. And he wants us to feast. So feast on the bread of life whenever you need to. Snack as often as you need to. Binge yourself. I know binging is bad. Karen's away. Kroger chips and Dr. K, man. I don't even want to tell her what's going on in the Rollison household. I don't even want my kids to know some of the stuff that I've been able to buy and I've got just in case we're really, you know. But I got to do some real cooking too. Kate, you too. You know, there's a lot of unhealthy challenges to eating. But Jesus will never hurt you. So as often as you need to, have a snack. You know, pull out the Bible and read a text. Binge on Jesus. Memorize a section of Scripture. I mean, memorize a hymn stanza or a gospel phrase. Or just say, Lord, hold me. I'm going crazy right now. Hold me, Jesus. I just need you to take away all that's just bombarding me because I'm eating the wrong stuff. You know, so here's the place where we have a chance to eat, but you can eat during the course of the week. Listen to a sermon online. Have a little devotion. Take a portals of prayer. I've got the redneck prayer, the redneck devotions for you to use. I love those guys. They do a great job of doing catechetical stuff. The Higher Things group, they do a great job. And maybe you like portals of prayer, you know. But just eat. Because a diet on Jesus will never let you go hungry. A diet on Jesus won't ever make you have to go on a diet. He's the one that can relieve you from all the struggles, whether it's fear or bitterness or hopelessness. And what a diet on him actually does is it fills you with life. So eat and drink Live the life of hope, peace, joy, and love. Be filled with all that he brings. And you know, you'll find yourself being so well fed by him that the things that happen around you won't be so traumatic to you. And the places where you've made those compromises, where you simply find yourself now speaking in the truth and love, trying your best to be a service of help and kindness and compassion and solving things, you won't be as afraid of rejection. You'll just want to share the truth. This diet is more than just something for now. Jesus says, in me you'll live forever. There's no other diet that's promising that. There's no other diet that's promising that. But it might not be easy to receive that. We heard what the disciples did long ago. It's really a sad passage. John makes the comment, from that time many of his disciples went back and walked with him no more. Then Jesus said to the 12, do you want to leave me too? What did Peter say? Lord, to whom shall we go? You have the words of eternal life. Do we say anything different? I don't think so. So eat. Taste and see that the Lord is good. Drink. Taste and see that the Lord is good. Stick with him. He's the diet that makes all the difference. In the name of Jesus, amen. Now may the peace of God that goes beyond all that we understand, may that peace from God guard and keep your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus. Amen.